firm in the truth. I was praying and it came into my spirit, the scripture that says, let God be true and every man a liar. Remember that scripture? I don't want to take it out of context, but I felt the Holy Ghost speaking to me when I read that, when I thought of that scripture. I didn't even read it, but I thought of that scripture while I was praying. And God said, let God be true. Of course, we know that God is nothing but true. There's only a couple of things that God cannot do, and the Bible says he cannot lie. He cannot lie. He has so much truth that he cannot lie. It's impossible. God is not a man that he should lie. Now, we may not deliberately lie, some do, but we may not deliberately lie, but we do see life through certain filters. We have filters and we see life through certain filters. In fact, we joked because Kimberly was at our house the other day and she had a certain memory that was actually incorrect. But it's what she believed and it was a piece of what she remembered. And it wasn't that she was lying, she just did not have the full truth. And many times, that's what we're doing. We are speaking out a partial truth. We might have some level of distortion. And we have all done that, right? And so, but let God be true and every man a liar. And what it is that God is saying to us tonight is we need to stand firm in truth, the truth that God is. And I'm not suggesting don't trust anybody. I'm just suggesting this, that we need to realize how true God is. And we need to hold fast to every truth that he has ever given us. The Bible continues to say in Ephesians 6, stand therefore. So after saying, having done all to stand, it says stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth or your loins girded with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we need to get back into the Word of God. I'm telling you, the enemy has stolen from us a desire and a passion for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God and for living a life of prayer. And the reason why the enemy works so hard to steal those things from us, because he's actually intimidated by the idea and the potential of us operating in those things. Let God be true. Search out the truth of the Word of God. You know what made the Bereans is they wouldn't listen to anybody without searching the scriptures to find out if what they were saying was actually true. Now, I wouldn't believe here if I didn't believe that the pastor here spoke the truth, but we still need to search the scriptures. This seems like a repeat to me and a rerun, but I'm going to say it again anyway. We need to let Sunday morning be as a spiritual appetizer for us so that we can have the meal, the meat of the Word, and the full meal the rest of the week. How much stronger, Pastor Tommy, how much stronger would we be? If the sermon served as more of an appetizer and we allowed the Holy Ghost to signal us to go and search the scriptures. We need to seek the Lord, seek his face, but we need to search his scriptures. Because in them, we do find life. And many of us, we're allowing in a very subtle way, the enemy has influenced us, and we have allowed the distortions and the perversity of this world to influence us and even to govern our lives. Listen, I want to tell you something. I don't care what ISIS does. I don't care what devils are doing. I don't care what works of darkness seemingly are accomplishing. We are called to be a fearless people, and I am not going to live my life governed by the fear that the enemy tries to impose upon me. But I'm not going to be foolish either. Is this okay? Pastor Tommy, I'll just ask you, is this okay? We need to wage a spiritual war. Church, we need to stop fighting flesh with flesh, because it won't ever get us anywhere. If you fight at that level, you'll never operate in the authority that it takes to defeat the enemy. And we need to enforce victory onto the enemy, over the enemy. But if we're in the flesh, and let me tell you, some of us, we need to go back and just do a good old-fashioned Bible study on what it is to walk in the Spirit and to live a life in the Spirit. So for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That means though we are human beings and we walk around in a human body, we do not war according to the flesh. So we're not fighting flesh with flesh. We fight the good fight. And listen, we need to, you know what makes the good fight? The good fight is we have a sense of victory and triumph no matter what the fight is. Amen? And so we need to stop allowing ourselves or our day or our situation or whatever it might be, our family, whatever it is. I'll just use the word day. I am not going to let another day be defined by a problem. I'm making a commitment before the Lord and before His people that I'm going to allow the rest of my days to be defined by the very promise and power of God. The promises and the power of God are going to define the rest of my days, regardless of what I might face or go through. I'm fighting the good fight. The Bible says, lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The next one is we need to endure hardships. Now, before I finish saying this and sharing this scripture, we need to endure hardship, not get entangled with hardship. And many times this is what we do. We get entangled with the affairs of this life, and we walk around, and the first thing that we say to people is, this is what I'm going through. Why don't we say what, like Minister Yvonne Bailey likes to say, it's already done. It's already done. I might be going through difficulty, but I'm going to gain some perspective because the Lord helps me by His Spirit. I'm going to call this thing already done. I'm going to call it already done. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're going to have to endure some things. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I can remember being a new born again believer, and boy, we went through some things. We in the natural, you know, especially financially, we went through some things. And we were enduring some hardships, but I can remember, especially hindsight, you know, you learn so much from hindsight. And I can remember just reflecting on those days, and we were not so easily disturbed by our difficulties because we were not going to be entangled with the affairs of life because we had this, like, I don't know, we were just so consumed with the idea of pleasing the Lord. We get so consumed with problems. We should be more consumed with promise and with power and with the call to please the Lord. Next, we're going to persevere in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always. How often? Say it with conviction. Always. Praying always with all prayer and supplications. And then it says in the Spirit. I have to be very, very honest and transparent with you. Church, I get so tired of hearing prayers that are prayed and they are not in the Spirit. We need to pray in the Spirit. That is not just praying in other tongues, although it includes that, but it is praying prayers that are inspired by the Spirit and energized by the Spirit, and they carry us someplace by the Spirit. That's how the saints of old would come to the conclusions that they were going to pray through. You can't pray through. In fact, you can't pray your way out of a paper bag if you are not praying in the Spirit. You might have good intentions. You won't be operating in enough authority. Is this okay, Pastor Tommy? We need to be willing to suffer for the message. I have a vision that every believer will have the message of the gospel in their mouth. Not just the man of God. Not just your Sunday morning pastor. Or your shepherd that watches over the flock. But every believer will have the message of the gospel in their mouths. I will warn you. I will forewarn you. It will be a risky lifestyle. I like to say this faith is spelled R-I-S-K. We need to run some risk. I'm not talking about the risk being wrong. I'm talking about the risk of being persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. We need to stop being afraid of persecution. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but the Bible tells me this, that if we are persecuted and reproached for righteousness, then the Spirit of glory would rest upon us. And why do we want the glory without the suffering of any persecution? In our thinking, we're out of order. And God's bringing order back to the church. We need to defend the message of Christ. Philippians 1, Paul said this, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition. Yes, there is a lot of preaching out there today that is governed more from a selfish ambition than from the pure Holy Spirit of God. Okay, in essence, Paul was saying, so what? It goes on to say, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. So we need to rise up as warriors to defend the message of Jesus Christ. We need to contend for the faith. Philippians 1 and 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is where the church is falling short in so many ways. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Many want to be called Christians, but they want to conduct their lives any old way they want to. And I'd like to call some of that activity sloppy spirituality. So that whether I come and see you, or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That those few words, striving together, it actually means wrestling together or seek jointly. So see, we're wrestling against an enemy together. Tom doesn't have his fight, and then Pastor Mark has his fight. No, together we need to withstand our enemy. And while we're withstanding the enemy, we're seeking God jointly. We're joined together in our pursuit of God. I also envision this coming into the house of God, and every person is absolutely given to their pursuit of God. We're not on our cell phones. We're not, you know, checking one another's clothing out. We're not, you know, thinking about and talking about what we're going to do after church. That while we're right here in this house, that together, that we are both doing war against the enemy, but we're also worshiping the God that we serve and seeking him with all of our hearts. Can you believe God with me for that? That we need to conquer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are as counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who, what? Loved us. I want to tell you this, that, you know, there's a lot of hatred and anger in the world that we live in. And the enemy, you know, there's works of darkness that so vehemently oppose us that all of their energies come out of hatred and anger, right? And, you know, even the fear that they cause and that the enemy tries to impose upon us, listen, the enemy is trying to use, even as extreme as these circumstances are, the enemy is trying to use earthly circumstance to in our thinking and in our hearts separate us from the love of God. Jesus, you know, God the Son, you know, Jesus, God the Son, he was a man of love and power. He was a man of love and power. And I was thinking of this earlier, as newborn believers, we just wanted to be people of love and power. Why am I going to extend the ministry of power to you? Because I love you. Why do I love you? Because God loved me. There is a hope that will not make us shame. In that same portion of Scripture, it talks about how the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Next, we need to have a victorious stance. We need to live triumphantly. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. You could come, Kimmy. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. In Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Do you know that the more you know him, the more intimately acquainted you become with the Lord Jesus Christ, do you understand, church, that there is a fragrance upon your life? There is an odor. There is an odor in this world today of death and deceit, disease and defeat. But when we know him, and see, even a completely unsaved atheist, they recognize the person who knows God. Right, Bree? They can recognize the person who knows God. I had shared Bree's testimony. One of her son's atheist friend watched how she conducted herself. Because she conducted herself in a way that is worthy of the gospel. And he watched her and he listened to her speak hope into the hopeless lives of waitresses. And I can't remember the exact wording. But what is it that Bree has that I don't have? What makes her love and care for people? Because I don't do that. An atheist can recognize someone who knows God. The more you know Him, the stronger the fragrance is going to be. And what a stinky world we live in. I'm about to close. We need to actively destroy Satan's strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. We got to get out of the flesh, church. We got to shake this carnality off of us once and for all. We need to be men and women of the Spirit. And with this, I'll say, men and women of the Word. Men and women of prayer. Men and women of fellowship. Men and women of worship. Men of women and women of submission. Men and women who will wait on the Lord. I don't even know where the idea of an order of service came from. I absolutely mean no disrespect by the statement. But sometime, we need to just wait on the Lord. We need to wait like the watchmen in the days of old. They would set their watch, and they would wait to see what God would say. Only spiritual beings can do such a thing. See something and hear something that God speaks. We need to actively destroy Satan's strongholds. Rise up as warriors. You can stand to your feet. We need to become powerful in battle. Powerful in battle. You can close your eyes and hear this final scripture. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens, of the enemy. Are you ready? Come on, every hand lifted. Come on, avail yourself to God to be awakened as a mighty warrior, to be a bride who's not just spotless in character, but powerful in authority, ready to wage battle against an enemy, ready to be a part of that exceeding great army of the Lord. Ready to receive of the winds of the Spirit that's blowing life afresh and anew into the church. Ready to stop excluding yourself. If you've excluded yourself from a move of power, listen to me. If you have excluded yourself for any reason from a move of power, would you come quickly to this altar? Come on, some of you, you're not moving fast enough. I'll stand at this altar because I've had plenty of excuses. I'll stand at this altar because I've wondered if it was ever going to happen. I'll stand at this altar because I know it is promised in the Word, but there's been times in my life that I wondered, is it really real? I'll stand at this altar because there's been times where I thought the character of Christ formed in me would be enough. Failing to remember that I need to operate in the power of Christ.